Right now, in Jesus' name, I worship you and I love you and I thank you for the opportunity that we have today. I thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit in this place. And I and a whole lot of other people in this room cry out for more. We cry out for more of the Holy Spirit, Father. We cry out for the gifts of the Spirit to manifest in this place on a regular basis, God. And Father, we're willing to step into more. You know, we cry out for more, but I think there's times when you're wanting us to step into more. And Father, we're willing to do that in this place because we trust you. We might not know fully and completely how to do certain things, God. But we know that we can trust you and you know how to work through us to get those things done. So we thank you. And Father, I'm believing you for that right now, that you will work through me, that I can get shared and speak about the things you would have me to speak about. Talk about the things that you want talked about. Get them done, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, you can take your Bible, if you would, please, and open up to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. Put a marker there. We're going to look at several different passages. We're going to read a lot of verses of Scripture in the book of Mark chapter 4. Look at a few others. Won't move around too much today, but there'll be some. But today what I'd like to talk about is this. Seeds to the kingdom, ears to hear, and light to shine. Seeds, let me say it this way this time. Seeds of the kingdom, ears to hear, and lights to shine. Amen? So, and I got a lot that I want to get done, so if you'll just let me get done today, I'd appreciate it. Take your watch and just put it in your purse or stick it in your pocket or, you know, just forget about it. Turn and look at somebody and say, just forget about it. Forget about it. Amen? All right. So, Mark chapter 4. Just going to start reading at the beginning. Read quickly with some things. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and while multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out and sowed. And it happened that as he sowed, that some of the seed fell on the wayside. And the birds of the air, it came and devoured it. Some seed fell on thorny ground, where it did not have much root, much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some of the seed fell among the thorns, grew up and choked it. And it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And it's kind of interesting if you think about this. Jesus starts out with this. Sowing seed. See, really, if you know, we know what comes after this, but if you think about it, when they're hearing this for the first time, he's just sowing seed. He's just talking about sowing seed on the ground. Doesn't seem like a big deal, does it? How important does it seem? You know, just sowing seed, yeah, that's a big deal. But he's headed somewhere. Jump with me, if you would, please, down to verse 11. I'm going to read verse 10. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Wow, it just took a crazy step. It just took an amazing step. He went from sowing seed to knowing about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. How many of you are aware? It just took quite a jump. It went from just simply sowing seed to knowing the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Turn and look at someone and go, wow. I'm a bit more interested. I'm leaning in a little further. I'm tuning in a little more. Because now I'm not just hearing about seed being sown on the ground. I'm hearing about a kingdom. And not just any kingdom, but the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. He's got my attention now in a much, much greater way. Now, jump with me, please, to verse 26 down through 32. Verse 26. And he said to them, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. What's he talking about again? Kingdom of God and scattering seed. From seed to a kingdom. Not just any kingdom. From seed to the kingdom of God. I like to say this a lot, and I will keep saying it for the rest of my life. The kingdom of God comes to us in seed form. How many of you want more of the kingdom of God in your life? It comes to you in the simple form of a seed. Isn't that awesome? It comes in that form of a seed. And that seed needs to be taken care of, and that seed needs to be nurtured, and that certain things need to be done with that seed. Verse 27, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout up and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields the crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when that grain has ripened, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Harvest of what? It's just a good question. Harvest of the kingdom. And think about it. What seed did you plant? You didn't just plant tomato seeds. You didn't just plant cucumbers. You planted things of the kingdom of heaven. And what did it do? It grew. And then what do you get to do down here on this earth? Put in the sickle and have a harvest. Amen. How many of you think that's a good idea? And in case they didn't get it, Jesus said in verse 30, and he said to them, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. I get stuff that jumps up in my heart as I read this. Could you be walking along and you drop a seed and go, oh well. What's the big deal? It's just a little seed. What's in that seed? What that seed has the potential to become. What that seed contains within it. Now, did you know that these verses of Scripture right here that we're reading right now, these right here after verse 30, did you know that they're the verses for the church? These are the verses that God put in my heart when we started this church. So what shall we like in the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed when it is sown on the ground. It is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and it shoots out large branches, so the birds of the air may nest under its shade. I mean, for me, there is a picture of the church. There is a picture of individuals' lives. But I can't go too long on that stuff, or I'm never going to get done. Amen? Okay, so how many of us are seeing, and I've said it before, and I know this is a repeat, but I got some more to share. How many of you are going, okay, Pastor? The kingdom of heaven comes to me in seed form. And now here's a really good question. What is that seed? Jesus gives us a little bit. He explains that first parable starting in verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" See, they didn't understand the parable. They didn't get it. The sower sows the word. Everybody say the word. Just do this. This word. Say that with me. This word contains the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God for my life. But not just mine, the lives of people around me. Amen. So be it. Think about your life as a tree. And one day, you received the seed of salvation. And you started growing in Christ. And you started growing in Christ. How many of you can say, yeah, I've done this? Yeah, Pastor, you're talking about me right now. I've done this. I've grown in Christ. And then as you grew, and as you got more mature, and your Christianity developed, and you learned more of the Word, and you got more seeds sown on the inside of you, pretty soon, you were sitting down with people. And you were praying for them. And you had the awesome privilege of telling them about Jesus. And then you had the awesome privilege of praying for them to get healed. And they got healed. And you developed a friendship. And for a while, what did they do? They hung out in the shade of your life. I don't know about you, but to me, that means something. I want to be that tree. I want to grow and I want to produce fruit and have people be able to come and receive from me things of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Anybody else want that? Anybody else get excited about that? Yeah, thank God we do. Amen? It is important. It matters. It matters. Now, okay, I'm doing awesome. Praise God. The sower sows the kingdom. The sower sows the kingdom. In your Bible, wherever you find the word, put kingdom. Because what are you sowing when you sow the word? You're sowing the kingdom. Wow. Man, it can change the value of things. It can change the significance of things. When I sow, and when I share, when you sow, and when you share, and when you speak to people, you're not just sowing some little seed. You might come back 10 years from now and see that person's life and go, oh my gosh, I remember the day. I remember the day back there where I got to pray with Brian Beam the night before his wedding. And he said, Pastor, I've been listening to you. And I've known about God and I have known about Jesus, but I don't know that I've ever met Jesus. And I want to do this right. So I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I can remember the day. I remember the spot. And Brian Beam got born again. And today, where's Brian? He's out praying for other people to get to know Jesus. Yeah! That means something. That means something. Wow. Heavenly trees walking all over the place. Carrying fruit with them. People going, I'd like some of that. Amen. Oh, what a privilege. What a wonderful thing for us to get to do. Now, I just real fast. How many of you know there's stuff that happens between the receiving of the seed and the produced fruit? Stuff goes on. Just read real quick here. The sower sows the kingdom, verse 14. And these are the ones by the wayside, where they hear the kingdom, or where the kingdom was sown, where the seed was sown, where the word was sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word of the kingdom, and takes away the seed of the kingdom that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16. Likewise, these are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word of the kingdom, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arise for the word's sake, for the kingdom's sake, immediately they stumble. But these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things enter in, and it chokes the word of the kingdom. It stops the growth of the kingdom. Verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground, who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. How many of us know, and I don't want to go into this, I actually will in a unique way, a different way this morning, but how many of you know, once you receive that word of the kingdom, once you receive that seed of the kingdom, there's growth that starts taking place. You know, I like this phrase, I got it from years ago, if you'll sow it, God will grow it. If you'll sow His word in your heart, He'll grow it in you. Amen. He'll grow it in you if you'll stay in there. But how many of you know there's an enemy out there? Satan. And what's he come to do? Not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm thoroughly convinced of this. Satan knows the magnificence, the power, the awesomeness of what the seed contains. I think there's a good possibility that when, you know, God started creating the earth and when He started speaking all of that stuff, Satan was watching. I'm pretty sure Satan's well aware of the power of the word. And let me say this to you. It's a whole lot easier to steal a sack of seed than it is a 20-acre field of crop ready to harvest. He'll come in and steal this from you before it's had a chance to produce in your life. Because I like what Brother Copeland said one time. People were telling him, that confession stuff. How many of you know confession is a biblical teaching? It's a Bible teaching that what we say with our mouth matters. That's a Bible truth. It matters. What you say out of your mouth matters. If you don't believe it, say something nasty sometime to your husband. Tell me if it matters. Or vice versa. Our words matter. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Satan knows it. He knows it matters. And Brother Copeland one time when someone came up to him and said, oh, that confession stuff doesn't work. He said, should have told me about 3 years ago. Because I didn't know that it worked back then. I just read it in the Bible and decided I'd do it. Now, I've been doing it for years, and you told me too late. You just got here too late. I've done it. It works. You know, you got something that works, you're not quick to let it go. You're more likely to hang on to it. You got something you're not sure of, you might let it go right away. Oh, yeah, go ahead. I don't know what good that thing does anyway. But boy, you do this and you get the kingdom growing. You're not likely to give it up. Now, Jesus does something in here. And this brings me to an interesting thing. Because remember I said, from seed to a kingdom. Now I want to get to the next part. And this is the longest part of the message. I just entitled it, Hearing Loss. So if you're taking notes, you can just write down hearing loss. Okay, we're going to talk about hearing loss. So to do this, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4 again. Only this time, we're going to start reading at verse 21. Verse 21, talking about hearing loss. Verse 21, Mark chapter 4. Also, he said to them, is a lamp brought and put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret that it should not come to the light. Okay, now I want you to do a couple things with me. What was he talking about right here? Right here he's talking about light, and he's talking about a lampstand, and he's talking about that light bringing things and revealing things in the darkness. Lighting up the darkness, having an impact on the darkness around and secrets being revealed and things like that taking place. And then he does something in verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He's talking about light. And then he says, if you got ears to hear, hear. Interesting. So I'm pulling two parts out of these verses of scripture right now. And what I'm going to pull out right now, first of all, is ears to hear. But I got to back up, and he says, is a lamp put under a bed? And I was just sharing, when I was reading this the other day, it just hit me in a neat way. How many go to bed at night and take the word of God and not consciously, not on purpose, not deliberately, but you kind of forget about it. And you crawl into your bed and you worry. And you stress. And you worry about tomorrow. And you fuss about things that got to be done and what didn't get done today and da 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 da. Anybody ever do that? Can I tell you to quit putting the word under your bed, please? Doesn't belong there. Keep it in your mind and keep it in your mouth. Keep it in your heart. Amen. Could call it the bed of worry. But then he also says this. To be put under a basket or under a bed. Is it not to be on a lampstand? I got to make my transition here. And in this, how many of us put the word of God under baskets or under a basket? We maybe don't think we do, but we do. Okay, can I get a little bit of help in here? We got to start turning off some lights. And for some, it might be a little hard to read, and I know that, but I want to just go ahead and do this. Amen. And it is so okay. It's so all right, Jed. That's an inside worship team joke. Hey, man, you can keep going with the lights, please, Sherry. Okay, how we doing? All right. The light. Okay. Which is, could we say, the Word of God? Okay. Now, how many of you'd put the light under a basket? But before I go too fast, how about we name some baskets? I got some. Maybe I'll just do the naming it first. Different baskets. And I want you to do something else as we do this illustration. Think about the basket as being a filter. Oh, you know what? You can turn the house lights on, Sherry. Those right there can stay on. People can read a little better. We should be okay, I think. Working? How many of you like the light on a little better? Because we're going to... They say turn it off. Now, someone say turn it back on once she sits down. Okay. We put the word under different baskets, even though we don't realize it. And think about the basket as being a filter. Did you know sometimes we filter God's word through life experiences? Sometimes we filter God's word through past experiences. Sometimes we filter God's word through things that happen around us, instead of filtering the things of the world by the Word of God. Does that make sense? Did I say that okay? Because we do that. Now, remember Jesus talked about light and ears to hear? Okay? So here's a basket. A basket of past experiences. In Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to do it this way. I'm not going to turn to all these places. But in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, how many of you know the Apostle Paul talks about his past? As a Pharisee, as a Hebrew of Hebrews, of men, all the stuff that he learned. And then he talks about his past as a persecutor of the church. A persecutor of Christians. And then he says, but all those things, forgetting the things that are behind me, forgetting them, I let them go. How many people don't let go of past experiences, past mistakes, past failures, and there's that basket of past mistakes, that basket of things you did before you were a Christian, and it just quite never leaves. Anybody ever had to wrestle with that? How about this one? Well, I can't know what God, I can't know God as a father because of the way my father was. People put over their lives a basket of terrible fathers. And then they have a hard time doing what? They have a hard time hearing about Father God. If God is such a loving God, if He's such a loving daddy, why? And because of those past things done to Him by their father, the word about the Father and His goodness gets filtered out. Do we have any other baskets that we put over? See, I want to get some. And do you know what I want to do? I want to get to some baskets you have over your life. Because how many of you know we could have baskets over our life and we don't even realize they're there? How about the basket of others' experiences? You ever heard somebody say, or you ever said yourself, well, I've had people say this. I've literally had people say this to me. Now think about this statement as a basket. Well, it's not God's will to heal everybody because so-and-so didn't get healed. You following that? So what basket have they put over themselves? The basket of other people's experiences and the truth of God's word isn't able to get into them. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Sometimes we can't hear because of experiences in our own life, in our past, or other people's experiences. And we filter out the fullness and the truth of God's word. How about the basket? Well, I suppose I ought to put one of these up there, huh? Let's see. How about this one? That was the What was the last thing we just talked about? Other people's experiences. How about the basket of lack? Anybody ever put a basket of lack over them? Well, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if we have enough. Boy, I don't know. I don't know. Anybody ever put that basket over them? You guys doing okay with me? Let's see. How about which one works? Anybody want to name a basket? Come on now, talk to me. Oh, fear, politics. That's interesting. Basket of politics. How many of you know we put a basket of politics over us? You ever heard people say, there's two things you can't talk about, politics or religion. Why? Why can't you talk about them? Because people are so consumed. People are so sometimes close-minded that and sometimes people are so passionate that a conversation about it is going to get heated. Anybody ever been in a heated conversation concerning politics? Amen. How many of you know sometimes we filter the Word of God through our political opinions and our political beliefs? I'm reminded, Bob, I'm so glad you said that. I do have it in my notes, but that is just perfect. I am reminded years ago, I was very disappointed in political stuff. I was very disappointed. The guy that I wanted in office didn't get in office. And I was very disappointed. It was bugging me for about a month. Go to Go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You guys doing okay? You with me? You listening? You got ears to hear? Isaiah 29. No. Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Seriously, I was really bothered by the outcome of the election. Anybody ever been bothered by the outcome of an election? Go ahead, raise your hand, because I think we... How many Democrats in here ever been bothered by the outcome of an election? Okay. How many Republicans in here ever been bothered by the outcome of an election? We've all been bothered by the outcome of an election. Can we get past the bothered by the outcome of an election to a greater point? Can we not be offended about what party the other person's with and get to a greater point? Will you let me talk to you? And do you know I have your best interest at heart? And do you understand if you have a basket of politics over you, I want to get it off? You okay? If you got a basket of worry over you, I want it removed. If you got a basket of fear over you, I want it removed. I am for you, I am not against you. How many of you know God's for you and not against you? Now, Pastor, don't talk about politics. Yeah. So anyway, years ago, bothered by the outcome of an election. It was really bothering me. And we're down at an event, Christian event. And we're singing this song. I've shared this before, but I want to take a little more time and tie it together a little better. And we're singing this song. And in the song was this verse of Scripture. And there will be no end to the increase of His governance. And we're singing that song. And there will be... And you know what? We sang it for like 14 minutes. Can you imagine the same song for 14 minutes? Yeah! It's good! How many of you know sometimes we ought to lengthen our worship sessions? Instead of 14 minutes total, 14 minutes per song. My wife's over here smiling, going, I'm liking it, honey, I'm liking it. It's probably other worship people going, yeah, that'd be all right. You know, in the same song. And I'm out there, God, I got it. And He's up in heaven going, no, you don't. Because you got a basket of politics over your head, Joel. And He removed it for me. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And we kept singing it. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, what will there be no end of? And who are we singing about? We're singing about the birth of Jesus. And what will there be no end of? Some said it right, some didn't. There will be no end to the increase of his governance and peace. So what does that mean? That means since the day that Jesus Christ was born, the influence of his government and his peace is growing in the world and hasn't stopped. You know what I did when God pulled off the basket of politics? I got set free. I got set free. I got set free. Yeah, God, I'm looking at the wrong place. I ought to be looking to my Savior, Jesus. I ought to be looking to you, God. But instead, I've got my eyes down here fixed on natural things. And I'm filtering the Word of God. Through the basket of politics. Now, a couple of things are happening, and I'm not really talking about the obvious yet. From seed to a kingdom. But you know what happens lots of times? In the process, people don't have ears to hear because there's these baskets of worldly things and not so important stuff placed over them. Amen? What are some baskets you got over your life? And what if somebody was to help you see one of those baskets? You know, some people have a basket of sickness over them. They filter the Word of God through their basket of sickness. Some people have a basket of feelings. Some people have a basket of victim. You ever run into the victims? They're victims. Some people have the basket of blaming. It's always somebody else's fault. Amen? It's always, I remember when I was a teenager driving my car. Did you know every time I drove my car, when I was a teenager, I broke the law. I hope you appreciated the very clear definition of past tense. See, because some people keep trying to bring my past into my present and put that basket of speeding over me. Well, quit it. Amen? And I won't tell you about my motorcycle ride yesterday. But I had this basket of blaming out to get me. Every time I got pulled over, the police were out to get me. Didn't have anything to do with the fact that I just got done doing 65 down Main Street. They're out to get me. They're out to get me. They're out. We put all kinds of baskets over ourselves. Do you think I could see that basket back then? Couldn't see it. Couldn't see it. We do that. We do that. Got any baskets over you? There's lots of them. I got down here, basket traditions of men. Did you know that huge parts of the church world are full of the traditions of men? And Jesus said, you make the Word of God of no effect by your traditions. There is a basket of traditions of men over lots and lots of people. And how many of you know we got more baskets? Amen. Now I want you to think about something. Are you filtering God's word through your particular baskets? Do you got your particular baskets that you like? You might think about getting rid of them. And you might think about, I want to go back to that verse of scripture, putting the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God first, and going, you know what? I am no longer filtering the word of God through the feelings of my body. I'm no longer filtering the word of God concerning the politics of the world. I'm no longer filtering the word of God concerning the money in my checkbook. I'm not doing that. My God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I love the noise of baby. It's okay. Is it bothering any of you guys? Amen. Someone said it sounds good. Yeah. Glory to God. So, now, anybody got the basket of busy over you? Martha, Martha. But Jesus had chosen that one part that was needful. And it will not be taken from her. What'd she do? Martha pushed the basket of serving away. She, no, I'm not wearing that basket. And she came and she sat at Jesus' feet. How hard is it to get baskets off of us sometimes? I one time made the statement down in Rushville when I was preaching, you know, those dishes sitting in the sink, they can't talk. And I had a bunch of ladies go, oh, yes, they can. I went, okay, they can. Ignore them. You know, sometimes it's hard to get them baskets off of us. Amen? But we need to, because even without realizing, we don't hear the fullness of what God's saying. Now, from seed to a kingdom, but stuff goes on in the middle. Ears to hear. Do we have ears to hear? Or do we have trouble hearing because of all the baskets that we've got over our heads? Now, what happens? What's the obvious that I haven't been pointing out? What's happened to the light? Bob said it well. What light? But I tell you what, you start to remove all these baskets. What's beginning to happen? Does it make any difference? You know, and Jesus said a couple of things. I'm getting ready to close. The last part, you could call it this, a light problem. A light problem. Sometimes we have a light problem because people got too many baskets on them, and we got to take the baskets off. In John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus said, well, I am in the world. I am the light of the world. Think about that verse. Well, I am in the world. Well, Jesus was in the world. He was what? The light of the world. Now, did he put a time frame on that? He did. Well, I am in the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Notice what he says in Matthew 5, 14 and 15. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. What happens to your light if it's covered with baskets? It doesn't get to shine like God wants it to shine, does it? It just doesn't get to shine like he intends. You are the light of the world. Can you imagine that we're the light of the world today? When people see you, what do they see? Do they see the basket of lack? Do they see the basket of blaming? Do they see the basket of politics? Do they see the basket of worry? Do they see the basket of fret? What do they see when they see you? Or do they see light? You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a light under a lamp, but under a bowl, but on a lampstand. Does God want you under a lamp, under a bowl? Does He want you under a basket? No. Why? Because He wants your light to shine. Can we turn the lights on now? Amen. You guys get anything out of that? Did I make any of you think a little bit? Did God, the Holy Spirit, help me talk to your heart? Amen. Was there a possibility that I maybe irritated anybody? I hope so. If I didn't, I missed it. I was really hoping to point something out that you kind of like over your head, but it's really wrong. I hope so. And I was trying to be as gentle as possible. That's my nature. Whether you believe it or not. What's that? I'm starting to? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to ask you a question. What do you think would happen if I went walking into a grocery store like this? I mean, what would happen? I go over to Lynn's and I walk in like this. Or I go in and I sit down in a restaurant and I have lunch. What would people think? What's that? Call the cops? He lost it. What would people talk about? Basket case, basket head. They'd talk about the basket. When people see you, what are they talking about? When you walk into a room, what do they talk about? Does your light so shine that they think about Jesus and they think about the love of God, or do they think about the basket that you got over your head? Folks, how many of us want our light to shine? More need to be said? I don't think so. I don't want a bunch of baskets. I don't want a basket of religion over my head. I want a basket of relationship. Amen. I want the light to shine. You know what? It's so interesting. When Jesus said, we have ears to hear. We have ears to hear. If you have ears to hear. You know what? I think we all have ears to hear. But it's how much stuff is in the road that causes us not to be able to hear. Sometimes people have baskets of pride. And they can't hear. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go ahead and stand up. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Can I get folks from the prayer team to come on up? We got Jeff and Rochelle here. We got Kim and Betsy here. Get the worship team here. Hallelujah. As always, I'll never, we got Sally here, praise God. I'll never stop doing this, guys. But always given an invitation to receive Jesus Christ. To receive Jesus Christ. If you're in this building and you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you've never asked for forgiveness, then I want to invite you to come up with, hopefully, a whole lot of other people that have prayer for other things in their life. Amen? And if you're uncertain, well, I think I met Jesus, but I'm not sure, then you haven't. Because once you've met Him, and once you get to know Him, you know it. You know it. You know it. If you're in this place today and you want prayer, you want someone to introduce you to Jesus, you want to be forgiven of your sin and be in the family of God, come on up here and let someone up here pray with you. If you're in this building today and you need physical healing in your body, come on up here and let someone pray. If you're in this place and you got a basket of something over your head and you think you need help getting rid of it, come on up here and let somebody pray with you. If you need wisdom, if you need direction, if you need something, come on up and get it. Amen. Because God is a loving, giving God. So, Glory, Jim, would you turn off the house lights for me? Just the house lights. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, right now in Jesus' name, we worship You, we praise You, and we love You. We thank You for Your goodness, and we thank You for Your joy, and we thank You for Your abundance, and thank You that You love us so much, Father. And God, thank You that You want us to be able to hear You, to hear You. Father, right now, I just pray and ask the Holy Spirit, talk to people. Talk to people right now. Father, just talk to people about their life. Talk to people right now, God, about things that are causing them not to be able to hear You. Talk to them about how much You love them, God. Talk to them about how You want to heal their body. Talk to them about how You want to forgive their sin. Talk to them about how You want to use them to reach the lost. Father, talk to us. And Father, as we get to start to wind things down right here, I just thank You that the Holy Spirit is moving. He is working across this congregation. And He is just talking to people right now. And Father, for anybody in this place that has never made Jesus Christ Lord of their life, that today they would do so. Today they would come up here and they would meet Him. And Father, for people that need healing in their body, people who are searching for wisdom and looking for answers, Father, they know that they can come up here to this altar and they can have somebody stand with them and pray with them. And we thank You and we praise You, Father. And then, God, I just thank You as we, you know, take our time. There's no rush. But as we take our time and we leave this building, You go with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. But You're always with us. In Jesus' name.